Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll have the game right here on The Fan on February 4th. And starting tomorrow, we'll bring you the most complete coverage from Minneapolis. Mornings from 6 to 10 with Boomer and Geo. And afternoons from 2 p.m. to 6:30 with Chris Carlin, Maggie Gray, and Bart Scott. Exclusively on your flagship station for the NFL. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
WFAN 2020 Sports.
Good morning at 6 o'clock. I'm Dave Uram. This report is sponsored by Spot Hero.
He's going to get run. He has been tossed. And now he wanders onto the floor. He's got to be held back by Jacques Vaughn. I mean, his sport coat is coming off. Dinwiddie's trying to hold him. Tony Brothers gave him the second tee. And Kenny Atkinson is as angry as I've ever seen it.
Chris Carino right here on The Fan. Nets head coach Kenny Atkinson going bonkers towards referee Tony Brothers late in the fourth quarter of Brooklyn's third loss in a row, 111-97 at the T-Wolves. Nets were shorthanded, missing Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, D'Angelo Russell, and Caris LeVert.
Majority of the time I've been here, it's been attitude's excellent. I knew they weren't going to give up. You know, even after I got thrown out, they still kept, you know, fighting for the old man.
Atkinson on yes. Minnesota led by as much as 26, but the Nets got it to 5. Much better basketball in Golden State.
Curry up the floor with a minute 45 to go. Deep three off the dribble. Got it! Curry! Warriors 98. Celtics 95.
Tim Roy, Warriors Radio, potential finals matchup. Dubs outlasted the Boston Celtics 109-95, 101-105, 109-105, rather, third time's a charm. Stephen Curry, 49 points, 13 over the final 142, 8 of 13 from behind the arc. Former Nick Carmelo Anthony surpassing the 25,000-point mark in his career as his Thunder beat the Pistons 121-108. Melo, the 21st player to do this in NBA history.
For me to still, you know, be at a point in my career where, you know, I still have a lot more to go, and it's a great feeling.
Meantime, 1 week from Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis, Patriots against the Eagles, Pats tight end Rob Gronkowski making progress in his return from a concussion. He participated in football-specific drills, which is the fourth of five steps to passing protocol. Today's the Pro Bowl, no Giants or Jets in it. Westwood One's coverage on The Fan begins at 2:30. A recap of the NHL skills competition on the other side, as well as a check-in on the Aussie Open and an update on Tiger. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. You spot here anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code CITY for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter. Fan, 2020 Sports Time, 602.
Hello, New York City. Geico presents things that'll make you feel good.
Prairie dogs greet each other with little tiny prairie dog kisses. Come on, that's adorable. Something else to make you feel good? Geico's been offering great savings and service for over 75 years and has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. And that satisfying coverage isn't just for your car. The Geico Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo. And Geico offers motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. You know what else will make you feel good? Scientists studied the chemical composition of the center of the galaxy. It smells like raspberries. Well done, universe. And Geico is the largest auto insurer in the state. So breathe easy. We've got your back. Plus, you might be able to save even more money because Geico has local agents in your area who could help you find savings, like military or federal discounts. And Geico offers emergency roadside service.
So, New York City, contact Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office. You'll feel better after you do.
Want the best deal on a Chevrolet in the tri-state? Go to BuyCal Chevy in Valley Stream or BuyCalChevy.com.
Fan 2020 Sports Time, 6:04.
From the New Jersey Devils, Brian Boyle!
That courtesy of NBCSN, the Devils Lone All-Star representative Brian Boyle getting a standing O from the Tampa crowd at the NHL Skills Competition. An emotional season for Boyle, now featuring a second-place finish in accuracy shooting. Meantime, the Rangers' Henrik Lundqvist third in save streak. Islanders' John Tavares second in puck control relay. Josh Bailey last in the fastest skater competition. NHL All-Star game this afternoon. Australian Open men's final. Roger Federer up 2-1 on Marin Cilic, but Cilic is up 5-3 in the fourth set. Tiger Woods, a 203rd round at the Farmers Insurance Open. He's tied for 39th heading into round four. College basketball, St. John's now 0-10 in Big East. 70-45 loss to Butler. Rutgers losing to Penn State 60-43. Syracuse edging Pitt 60-55. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster in the Prudential Center box office for the fourth annual Mikey Strong charity hockey game Friday night, March 2nd at the Prudential Center featuring Boomer, Geo, Jerry Recco, and many NHL alumni. Proceeds go to the Nichols Family Trust and the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation to assist paralysis community. Up to 5,000 registered ticket holders will receive a voucher to a 2018 April regular season Yankees home game, and all will receive two tickets for a 2018 Devils home game. Certain restrictions apply. 50 degrees and raining in Central Park, and that's what's happening. I'm Dave Uram with 2020 Sports on WFAN, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. You can now listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere by downloading the all-new radio.com app.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bob Salter. Yeah, actually I am. And to stop and check for a second. Well, hopefully you are in a good frame of mind. Despite this wet weather, kind of a murky day. Ugh. You haven't been outside. You really haven't missed that much. And I think... seems like the forecast is a little bit up in the air as to exactly what we're going to be having here at the beginning of the week. Hearing a little bit of talk about things maybe being a little bit more wintry in the forecast at the start of the week. Ay, ay, ay. Here we go. Those temperatures up and down. And have you noticed everybody is sick too? Isn't that just a wonderful time? Well, hopefully you are well. On our program today, we're going to change things up a bit from what we typically do on the show for a couple of reasons. One is that something that we had planned kind of fell through during the overnight hours. And secondly, in a way, I want to kind of set up an area where this show is going to be going in the month of February. One of the designations of the month of February is something that you have undoubtedly heard about over the years, the designation of that month as Black History Month. And we'll be talking about that in a couple of different ways in the month of February with some guests. But I want to talk in a way about that topic with you today, and specifically about this idea of race relations. Something struck me the other day when I was in one of my college classes, and I showed a portion of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech that was given back in August of 1963 in Washington, D.C., before 250,000 people down in the mall on a very hot August day. Undoubtedly, you have heard portions or seen portions of that speech, some very, very famous lines from there. And the delivery of that by Dr. King can best be described as legendary in terms of speaking technique, the way in which he builds the momentum throughout the speech, and the crowd reacts to it as well. One of the thoughts that he had in there is something that has been bouncing in my mind since I showed this speech to a class on Thursday morning. And it's always interesting showing speeches to college classes today, because I expect one of two things to happen. One is because the speech itself in its full version runs somewhere around 13 to 15 minutes long. The people are going to zone out big time, start to fidget, look to do other things, talk, go on their phones, etc. Or sometimes I get the other reaction where you could literally hear a pin drop in the room. Because, amazingly enough to me, it's the first time, in some cases, that the students have actually been exposed to the speech. Sometimes at all, but definitely in its full version. One of the things that Dr. King said, and this thought, again, has been just bouncing back and forth in my head like a ping pong ball since Thursday morning. He said that his hope for the future, one of his hopes, was that for his four children, that they would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That was 1963. This is 2018. I start us off today in hopefully what will be a lively discussion on this topic of race relations with the question, is that possible in the real world? In an ideal setting, yes, I think we could say it would be. But when we get down to it in the real world, does that really happen? Aren't we all, to some extent, biased? Yes, I use that term. So I'm interested in your thoughts on this topic of race relations. In other words, where are we now on this topic? Are we better off than we were in 1963? Or are we in comparable times to that? 877-337-6666. That's our phone number at WFAN. The reason, again, I put this out there, we're going to be going into some interesting areas looking at this topic, exploring it on this station and specifically on the show over the next month and even sometime after that, with some things that I've been working on in terms of show ideas and the like. Because, again, it's an area that I think needs exploration and real discussion. So, with this topic of race relations, where are we today? And is it possible that we're actually any better off than we were back in 1963 when Dr. King gave that speech? 877-337-6666. That's our phone number here at WFAN. And we should have a very good discussion, I think, on this topic. One of the thoughts that I always have when thinking about this topic also is you look at where progress can be tracked, and I guess how progress can be tracked in our society in terms of cultures, different cultures, different backgrounds, tolerance or the lack thereof of that in our overall society. And I do have to wonder at times exactly where it is we are, where we're going, where our political leaders' thoughts are on this topic. But what does the future really hold for the way that people really get along? Is it going to be a great big kumbaya session where everybody gets together and hugs and talks about how they love one another? Or is that completely unrealistic? Interested in your thoughts on the subject. 877-337-6666 is our number here at The Fan. And I know that some people are going to think, wait a minute, what's his angle in this? Valid question. True answer, I really don't have one. It's my curiosity. And I'm always interested in studying people and studying what they're saying, what they're thinking, in some cases, what they're not saying verbally, and what I think they might be thinking, and definitely interested in studying what direction, what words, what commands at times come from those who are in positions of authority or leadership. Because, at least in theory, those are the people who are providing direction as to where it is we are or are not going as a society and as a country. You know, technology is a wonderful thing in a way. But has technology had a real impact on our understanding and even our ability to understand those who are perhaps of a different background, times of a different religion, or of a different race? Just a couple thoughts I put out. I like to get people talking. 877-337-6666 is our phone number here at The Fan. We got some people on hold. What we'll do is, as we move into our next segment, start to take some of your calls on this topic of race relations this Sunday morning.
At Spectrum Business, we believe in earning your business every day. That's why we deliver over 99.9% network reliability and don't believe in contracts. Don't have them, won't make you sign one. That's right. Spectrum Business, the provider of the best internet, voice, and TV solutions for your business, has no contracts. No contracts to get our best price. No contracts to get the fastest internet starting speeds. No contracts to get advanced business voice. And if your current provider has you stuck in a contract, we'll even get you out of it. So what are you waiting for? Take control and find out what it's like to work with a company that will earn your business every day. Now that's the way business should be done. Call 866-825-9012 or visit business.spectrum.com and get Spectrum Business today. You'll get the best internet and voice for your business with no contracts. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
They say, want a new wireless plan? Gotta buy a new phone. At Simple Mobile, we say, just bring your own phone. Then pop in a Simple Mobile SIM card and boom. You've got 30-day unlimited plans starting at just $25 with nationwide coverage on a lightning-fast 4G LTE network, all with no contract. You can keep it complicated, or you can mobile simple with Simple Mobile.
Available nationwide at Best Buy, Simple Mobile dealers, and authorized retailers. See the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
Looking for ways to save with your Medicare plan? Walgreens is a preferred network pharmacy with many of the nation's plans, which could mean lower copays for you. So bring your prescriptions to a Walgreens pharmacy today to start saving. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Walgreens participates as a preferred network pharmacy with UnitedHealthcare, Cigna HealthSpring, and Humana. Walgreens participates with other plans. See walgreens.com/Medicare for details.
How you doing, Dr. Greenberg?
I'm doing great now because all these couples are going to be happy sleeping together. You have to understand that mouthpieces are the best solution for snoring. They're better than pillows. They're better than mattresses. They're better than those strips you put on your nose and things you put in your nose.
And the best mouthpiece is a Zipa, Doc. A Zipa. It's the only one that works.
You understand, the reason why the Zipa is different from all the other mouthpieces is because we've got that tongue elastic strap to keep the tongue from falling back, to keep that airway open, which eliminates the snoring.
That's right, because it really works. It's the best mouthpiece in the world. That's what I'm trying to tell everybody.
If you go to our website, you'll see one of the major news programs did a test, and they compared us to a pillow. They compared us to a chin strap. And guess what? There was only one of them that worked, and it was the mouthpiece.
Now I'm going to do my thing. Get a Zipa today at Zipa.com. That's Zypppah.com.
WFAN 2020 Sports.
Good morning. It's 6:20. I'm Dave Uran. Tall task for the shorthanded Nets in Minnesota. No Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, D'Angelo Russell, or Caris LeVert. And then for the final 5:55, no Kenny Atkinson. The head coach tossed for losing his cool big time at a ref. A 111-97 loss.
You know, it happens, and just a little frustrated, and I'd rather talk about the game, really.
That courtesy of, yes, Jahlil Okafor, 21 points off the bench. Nick Stauskas with 15. The marquee matchup in the NBA yesterday, the Warriors, 109-105, edging of Boston and Golden State. Potential finals matchup, Steph Curry, 49 points, 13 in the final, 142.
It was a fun game. It was intense. It was hard fought for all 48 minutes, so that is kind of, you know, what you expect in the playoffs, for sure.
Elsewhere, former Knick Carmelo Anthony, the 21st player in NBA history to reach 25,000 points, doing so in a 121-108 victory over Detroit for the Thunder. 68th NFL Pro Bowl this afternoon in Orlando. Westwood One's coverage on The Fan gets underway at 2:30. That means Super Bowl 52 next week in Minneapolis between the Patriots and Eagles. Pats getting tight end Rob Gronkowski back at practice doing specific football drills. He remains in concussion protocol. Tom Brady, though, happy that Gronk is making progress.
You know, great player, great person, great teammate, and big part of what we do. So obviously hurts when he's not out there for a lot of reasons, but he's doing the best he can do, and you know, we're all hopeful.
Today's also the NHL All-Star Game in Tampa Bay. Four local representatives, the Rangers' Henrik Lundqvist, Islanders' John Tavares and Josh Bailey, and the Devils' Brian Boyle. Australian Open men's final, Roger Federer, Marin Cilic in a decisive fifth set. Federer leading that fifth set to love. Golf, Tiger Woods, 2-under round 3, 3-under overall at the Farmers Insurance Open. He's 8 strokes off the lead. College hoops, St. John's losing streak is a 10. A 70-45 loss to Butler. Rutgers fell to Penn State, 60-43. Syracuse over Pitt, 60-55. With reports every 20 minutes, Dave Uram, WFAN 2020 Sports.
As we inch closer to Super Bowl Sunday on February 4th, keep it here today at 2:30 for the AFC-NFC Pro Bowl from Orlando. Exclusively on your flagship station for Super Bowl 52, featuring the Eagles and Patriots, The Fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN FM, New York.
It is Sunday morning on The Fan. Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter. On our program today, what I've done is throw out this topic of race relations. In a general sense, I want to open up the phones today on our show. Next month, of course, is one of the designations is as Black History Month. That's part of what we'll be focusing on during that month on this program. And in a way, we can set things up with hopefully a lively discussion today. 877-337-6666. You want to share your thoughts on the topic. Let's start with folks on the phone who've been very patient here so far. We start first with Francis in Manhattan. Francis, good morning. Welcome to The Fan.
Hey, good morning. I just want to keep this really simple. Man, that's such of a complex thing to talk about. I can only just say that as a middle-aged man, I'm 59 years old. I raised two sons, Hispanic, and I also raised a black daughter. And so raising them, I had to prepare them for the inevitable, which is there are people who are racist, you know. But in the process of, you know, raising them, I'm telling them, you know, this is what you might face. You might face somebody using the N-word, or you might face somebody, you know, that makes you feel uncomfortable because they look at you a certain way, or they're mistrustful of you because you fit a certain stereotype. But I also told them that you can't think that everybody is like that, because everybody is not like that. So basically, you know, I was happy to see that both of my sons, they're grown men now, you know, pretty level-headed, and they see things as they are. My daughter, on the other hand, she's a student at St. John's University. She actually has friends that are Asian, white, black, but even though she's cognizant of the fact that, you know, she, you know, racism surrounds her, it's how you respond to that. But most importantly, I believe that racism starts in the house. I mean, you know, there's just too many elders, older folk that still are holding on to ridiculous beliefs about, you know, Hispanics and blacks that are, some justified, some not justified. I mean, there's whites that commit crimes and there's blacks that commit crimes. So I believe, since you did mention Martin Luther King's speech, the part that he said, the content of the character, that, you know, he wants his sons and children to be judged by the content of the character. That's a great phrase. But the problem is, you know, people are always going to be biased. It's how you respond to that. So that's my comment. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you very much for your call this morning, Francis. 877-337-6666 is our phone number at the Fan. We're talking about race relations on our program, Open Phones. You want to join us in our discussion, you can. We go next to William from Washington, D.C. William, good morning. Welcome to the Fan.
Good morning. I'd like to thank you for playing that speech for the students. It's one of the greatest speeches I've ever heard. I'm 63 years old. I've lived through racism. You know, the problem with society is the three most words most used in the United States of America, and it's a shame, is black, white, Hispanic. They always put race first. That's a shame. I got a young son. I tell him color doesn't matter. I tell him that we're American first. We don't care about color. A true American does not care about the color of a man's skin. This is why this nation is great, because we still have a few Americans here who don't care about color. If we ever lose the people that don't care about color, you can only imagine what the society will be like. The previous caller made some great points, and I want to thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thank you for your call this morning. 877-337-6666 is our phone number. At the Fan, I'm Bob Salter. We're talking about this topic of race relations on our program today. We go next to Vic in Sound Beach. Vic, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the Fan.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say that I believe since 1963, things have improved amongst blacks. But as long as the discussion is held strictly to a one type issue, meaning, I guess what I'm trying to say is that the problem seems to reside mostly in the white community because of racism, it's never going to get much better. We all have our own biases and prejudices about people because of the way we were brought up, based on not disliking people because of the color of their skin, but because of the way they behave or the way they are. And that's always going to exist. I believe that we take people one at a time as we meet them, as we interface with individuals singularly. That's the way we respond. It's not something where you just can automatically say that you'll like a group of people only because of the way they are. And that's basically, the last caller made a lot of sense. We are Americans. I like to say that I'm an American of Italian descent. I don't say I'm an Italian-American, because I'm not an adjective, I'm a noun. If you understand that, I'm sure you do.
I do.
And that's what I say. And I believe that over the years, politicians have tried to create these different classes of people in this country, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, in an effort to control us. And it works. It does work. It has its, you know, it has its benefits for those people. But again, like that last caller said, we should be Americans first. And when times are bad, we always do come together for those reasons.
Vic, thank you very much for your call this morning and your comments. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next up, 877-337-6666. Let's go to Jay in Bergen County, New Jersey. Jay, good morning. Welcome to The Fan.
Hey, good morning, Bob. If you remember, I've talked to you a few times. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I know where you come from, Bob. Bob, I was born in Jersey City. We were forced to move out in 1965. We were forced to move out of Jersey, 66, before we went in. Two black men came into our apartment. We're on the fourth floor of the apartment house. At this time, the area was kind of mixed. It puts a sour, feeling in the white people that were forced. I'll tell you why we were forced to move out. Two black men broke into our apartment on the fourth floor. One Sunday night, we're watching Ed Sullivan with the family. And they broke right through the door looking for some woman that was supposedly running around, and the police were there. It was a horror. I was 18. My brother was, at the time, 11. My mother was, it was terrible. So that was it. The blacks are moving in. We're moving out. And, of course, we wind up in Kearney, New Jersey. Okay, let's go back. Let's go 50 years now here, 50-some-odd years. I opened up the Bergen Record yesterday, the liberal newspaper. I don't even know why I get that rag sometimes. On the second page in the local, and if you want, you can look it up. On the left side is this one black guy from Jersey City that robbed a car and was involved in killing that man on Communipore Avenue. The next page, three black men, one in Englewood, robbing a home, another one in Elmwood Park, robbing black, another black man. Okay. The black population today is probably 15, upwards of 20%. But when we see what's happening here, the robberies and the things that are going on, or on the news, the Channel 2 news, you open it up, there's a black guy trying to pull a pocketbook away from a woman, or a person of color trying to pull or raping somebody, or whatever the hell they're doing. So it's black, black, black. Oh, and there's a white lawyer yesterday in there that had his wife killed in southern New Jersey. Okay, they had his picture up there. For the 15 or 20%, the white man is going to say, look at this. Black, 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 and then all of a sudden there's a white guy in that did something. This is what hurts the black people. I am not prejudiced today at all. I will help anybody, and I've been known to help people of color. But it's just a thing that how do we get away from the black people that are committing these crimes, and they're not good people, and it hurts the good black people, and it'll keep it might make me or my wife walk across the street if we're in the city somewhere doing something to get away from a group. If you follow what I'm saying, Bob, you know, try to read between the lines of what I'm saying, and maybe you can give me an answer.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, because there's obviously a certain level of experience that you've had that has not been very favorable with some people, and that has, you know, it's understandable to some extent that that's going to influence your actions and reactions at times.
Bob, a few years ago, 10, 12 years ago, I was in Meridian, Mississippi. Okay, we just stopped there on our way to New Orleans and went to a Holiday Inn. Across the street was the Howard Johnson's. I walked in, and they picked me right out. Where are you from? I said, were you from New York? I said, no, New Jersey. Just as effing bad. And, you know, and they went right into, they went into the black thing. It was a white. I had to walk out of the place. They're horrible down there. They're horrible down there. I could still see I could still see 1963 in parts of the South, but not up here. Mississippi is horrible there. The parts of the South are awful. We understand that against black people. And hey, Bob, even when there's some kind of a riot going on, why are the black people ruining their own stores, breaking windows, stealing everything? They don't want to get along with the cops. Bob, there's 40,000 cops in New York. You're not going to have every cop. There's going to be a bad cop. There's going to be a bad cop. But out of 40,000, you're going to have 99% of them are good cops. And, you know, this stuff has got to stop. It really does. You know, like I said, I'm 71 years old. Boy, I could write a book on this, Bob. I really could. And I really enjoy your show again, Bob. And I think this is a great subject. And I hope somebody has an answer for, you know, what I'm talking about.
Well, let's see and hear exactly what people are going to share with us. And thank you for sharing your thoughts. And
all right.
Experiences.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind words, too, Jay. 877-337-6666. That's our phone number here at The Fan. We go next to Al, who's calling us from Linden. My God, people never call us from Linden. Al, good morning. Welcome to The Fan.
Hi. Yeah, this is Linden, New Jersey, man. I was in the ninth grade. I lived through the riots of Elizabeth Linden North when they blocked everything down, and it was crazy. But we all had black friends and white friends. Like, a lot of us got along. It was just, I think it was like more of the old-time family people telling their kids stories, and they like took it, instead of learning from it, they took it to a worser, I don't know if that's a word, to a worse step, you know what I mean? People are still fighting the Civil War in North and South today. They are still fighting it. See, I'm a colorblind person. You got to prove yourself an a-hole to be one. I'm a fair person, and most of my friends are. And black or white, Hispanic, there's good and there's bad in all. But it's like, I think the parents are just, the older parents are trying to instill into the kids that you're getting a raw deal. But they're not. You know, they're getting their education, they're getting their sports, they're getting schooling, and I can't pinpoint the problem of why you just don't get along. You know, John Lennon tried to say it the best, and look what happened to him.
True.
You know?
Very true. Al, thank you very much for your thoughts and
okay.
This with us this morning, right? 877-337-6666. That's our number here at The Fan. One more call here before our 2020 look around the sporting world. We'll go to JR here from the city. JR, good morning. Welcome to The Fan.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing just fine. On the way to work, you know, just got to get the hustle on. And,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is, just like you this morning. Yeah. But I just like to chime in a little bit, and this is just my take. You know, I'm a career serviceman. I retired. I served my country. So has my father and my kids. And, you know, when you're in the service, you're exposed to all kinds of different ethnicities, a lot of different people from a lot of different places with different cultural backgrounds and the little nuances from those regions. And I got to tell you, the one thing that I see more and more, and I grew up in the city, is that a lot, I know a lot of the callers have been, you know, saying about the blacks and this, but it's not just the blacks. It's even the Hispanics like myself, you know. There seems to be, I remember growing up in the early 70s, you know, when there was still a lot of the civil rights, you know, movement, you know, issues, you know, being addressed.
Whoops, JR, I think we're losing you here. And you were, it sounded like you
hello?
Were, yeah, okay. We started to lose you.
It's okay. It's just that it's the tone. The tone with which we address social injustice has changed. I remember, you know, seeing the protests on TV back in the early 70s. And yes, there were some, you know, some issues and some instances where there was some civil unrest. But for the most part, they were peaceful protests. And they had an agenda. They wanted to bring these social injustices to light. But it wasn't like today, where today everything, you know, everyone's bothered by everything. And they think that the way to get at it is to go out and burn up and riot and destroy, you know, their own communities, whether it be Black, Hispanic, or what have you. And I think that's detrimental to their cause, and it's detrimental to society as a whole. And that leaves a bad taste in people's mouths, especially myself, because of the fact that, hey, I live in that community too, and, you know, and I'm here to support you. And if there's something that's wrong, hey, let's address it. But you don't address it by creating more issues and devastation within your already impoverished communities. And
excellent.
And that's all I have to say.
That's
you know, I mean, I love your show.
Thank you.
You know, you bring a refreshing voice of reason to, you know, some very touchy subjects. And, you know, I just leave it at that. You know, it's just the fact that, you know, it gives us all, and I mean all as a community, whether you're Black, white, Hispanic, it gives us all a bad, bad, you know, name and reputation when we have to resort to basically aggressive, you know, riotous actions in order to address, you know, the issues that are affecting us today. And I think we're a better society than that.
Thank you very much for your call.
I'll let you go, sir.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for your service as well, JR, too. All right. Interesting discussion thus far on this topic of race relations. We've got a lot of people on the phones. If you're there, stay there. You want to join us, 877-337-6666.
WFAN 2020 Sports.
Good morning. It's 6:41. I'm Dave Uram. Nets head to the Garden to face the Knicks on Tuesday on a three-game losing streak. Shorthand to Brooklyn falling to T-Wolves, 111-97. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert not playing. Kenny Atkinson rung up late in the fourth quarter for losing his cool with referee Tony Brothers. Jahlil Okafor, 21 points to lead the Nets. Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins the same for Minnesota. Big night for Stephen Curry in the NBA's marquee game.
Curry crossover dribble by Irving. Goes up. Flipped it up and in. Tatum there in a challenge. 92-89. Curry's got 36.
Tim Roy, Warriors Radio. Curry finished with 49, 13 of which came in the last 2 minutes as the Dubs beat the Celtics 109-105. Ex-Nick Carmelo Anthony reaching 25,000 points in Oklahoma City's 121-108 victory over Detroit. Melo, the 21st player to accomplish this in his career. Super Bowl 52 next week. Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski fighting back from a concussion. He's now in the protocol's fourth step out of five, taking part in football-specific drills at practice. Westwood One's coverage of the 68th Pro Bowl begins at 2:30 right here on The Fan. NHL All-Star Game in Tampa also this afternoon. Local representatives Henrik Lundqvist, John Tavares, Josh Bailey, and Brian Boyle, who received a standing ovation last night at the skills competition for the emotional season that he's endured. Australian Open men's final, Roger Federer wins his 20th Grand Slam title. He beat Marin Cilic in five sets. Tiger Woods is 8 strokes back onto the round 4 of the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. He shot a 2 under round 3. He's now minus 3 overall.
I've played well here over the course my career, and I think a lot of these fans just, you know, want to see some of that, and trust me, I'm trying.
And in college basketball, St. John's fell to Butler 70-45, Rutgers a 60-43 loss to Penn State, and Syracuse defeated Pitt 60-55. With reports every 20 minutes, Dave Uram, WFAN 2020 Sports.
It's a big week on the Afternoon Drive, live from Minneapolis. All the stars going to be there, including Eli Manning, Terrell Davis, Le'Veon Bell, Kirk Cousins, David Johnson, Sam Darnold, Alvin Kamara, just to name a few. Jam-packed shows starting tomorrow, 2 o'clock on Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN, New York.
Oh, I love those guys in the Afternoon Drive. Well, good afternoon and good morning to you. Good afternoon. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Soltz. Welcome to our program on The Fan this Sunday morning. We are having a discussion on this topic of race relations. 877-337-6666 is our phone number. If you want to join us in the discussion, we have the opportunity to open up the phones today. And it's kind of a way of setting up some of the discussions going to be taking place on this program and probably on the station overall, about the topic of race relations as we move into observations associated with Black History Month in the month of February. And a lot of people want to chime in, so we're trying to work in as many thoughts as possible. 877-337-6666. Let's go back to the phones to Angel, who's been holding for a while in the Bronx. Angel, good morning. Welcome to the Fan.
Hey, Bob. It's Angel in the Bronx. My first time reaching out to you. I've heard your show a couple times. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Share your thoughts. I consider myself a young guy, 39 years old. I'm a police officer here in the city. And I feel it's hard to shake whatever it's been instilled and ingrained in you growing up as a kid. Whatever your parents instilled in you and what they said or the way they modeled whatever it was against any race. I'm Hispanic, and there's been tensions. I'm Puerto Rican, and there's always been this big rivalry, like, towards the Dominicans and stuff like that. But in that's within the Hispanic community. But, like I said, to me, it's hard to shake whatever your parents and everything's been instilled, whatever's been instilled in you and with race and relation. And to be honest, I feel since we're still talking about it in 2018, 55 years later, to me, very little has changed. We're still talking about it, and we will continuously talk about it, and it'll always be a touchy subject, very, very intense. It's tough, and to me, it will always be there. Like, we can, the social media, all of that, and it will always be there. I work in these communities every day. I just got out of work right now, and I work here in the Bronx, and I go to tough scenes every night and deal with these people's pain, and you see it. I mean, it's still there, and it's like, it's not going anywhere, Bob. It's still there.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Also, thank you for the work that you are doing, too, and for your kind words. And also, don't hesitate to reach out again and call in on this program, Angel. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
Thank you.
877-337-6666, our phone number here at the Fan. We go next to Brooklyn to Calvin. Calvin, good morning. Welcome to the Fan. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, thank you. I'm 63 years old, born and raised in Brownsville. Moved to Bensonhurst at 12 years old in 68. And people are going to be people. And I'm just going to break it down into a couple of years. Like, every 10 years, things are different. From the 70s, we had the mixture of everybody because of the music and then the drugs. Now, then the other part of it is the politicians took away the programs that we used to have, all right? Then in the 80s, kids stopped going to school. Then they changed the laws of you couldn't beat your kids. Because I've never drank, never smoked, never done drugs, and I'm dark as a tar in the street. And, yeah, they pick on you because of the color of your skin. And I'm a comedian, and I grew up with the Red Foxes and the Richard Pryors. And by the time you finish talking to me, you'd be just ready. A cop would just look at me and just, all right, have a nice day. You know, if you humor them, they leave the hell alone. But now, they do try to pick at you. No, seriously. I mean, my name is Calvin Boone, and anybody listening will call you and tell you. All right? They ask you for your driver's license. Now, again, like then you had a driver's license, they didn't have your picture on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have it in the car and under my seats. I always played sports and, you know, was running around and changing clothes. So I'd make them wait in the hot sun, you know, until I find it. And then they were like, maybe I'd give them 15, 20 minutes in the sun. And then they would give me like the ticket and I would find it. So now you're all pissed off. But again, then you could hear them on the radio talking, oh, black guy with a hell of a car, blah, 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 spotted up, whatever. And they leave you alone. But again, people are people, even people in high authority. They pick at you because they don't want you. And the other thing is jobs. You got all the people, male, blacks, or Hispanic, whatever you are. You got to give them jobs. And that's like to say, oh, they robbed, they did this. Well, we're not in high positions to embezzle. You know, all the money that the petty crimes that they commit, don't add up to one embezzlement job. And again, I don't know the answer. I'm just talking in general. And I know, like they say about us, most of my best friends are white. I grew up in Bensonhurst, okay? But we all have incidents, and we all write a book. I basically can write a book, yeah. But it's the way it is. I mean, how do we change it? Nobody knows. But the thing is, like one guy called and said, it's the same, but actually it's gotten worse. You know, because the kids, they don't go to school.
I give this percentage all the time. I'm going to give you a label. I say 100% is the ceiling, right? And then 50% after that, out of that 100, only 50 go to school, 50%. Then out of that 50%, only 25 actually pass. So you got 75% of kids not going to school or failing. So now how do we address that? Then they want to wear their pants hanging. Then they want to wear a hat in this class. All this was crazy when I went to school. You couldn't even get this back to your parents because you'd be dead. Again, you took away you beating your child. Back in the 60s and 70s, you came home with a letter. You got killed as soon as you walked in the door. Then your father would beat you. Whoever was there would beat you. I mean, you want to go through that? So the object was to get through this smoothly, pass your classes, read. You know, because everything they teach you is in the class. And that's the only thing. Another thing I tell young kids today. We learn from each other. The teacher would tell us to read pages 1 to 100. And then she asks us about it. And then we go around the class. What did you think about it? What did you? Mm-hmm. So we learn from each other. So it's nothing these kids don't have. They don't have the wherewithal to listen to one another. We policed ourselves. If we had 30 guys in a class or whatever gym, and one guy goes, oh, we're going to cut today. Back in the day, only two people would cut. and we would look at them fools like they were crazy, whether it was English, math, or whatever it was. We ain't going. We ain't walking out of school.
Right.
But today it's reverse. And again, I don't understand. I'm 62 years old. I'm 1955. Police, they always picking on you, no matter what it is. I'm driving a van with what they call it, handicapped things on it. They pulling me over, and I'm stopped at a red light. So she walks around the car, blah, blah, blah. And again, I don't know what she wanted, but, you know, I humored her. And then she tried to give me a ticket, and I took the ticket. But I'm not going to beat it. So I had headphones on. Who wears headphones driving a handicapped van? I had the earbuds in because we're talking to the consumers because they're handicapped. They can't stand out in the cold, right? So that's what you do. So how do you police that? Don't they have common sense? And this is what irritates people, normal, regular people like myself. It's like, well, what did I argue with her? You know, it's no big deal. I'll go to court. And the judge usually throws it away.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's how you handle it. Like the other one of the callers said, well, your parents taught you this, how to handle this. All of Ben told me, she's raised in the South, and they went through all that, and went through the civil rights and the riots. And, well, people talk about the riots. Well, people that don't have, they just going to go do what they have to do. Like the guy that, the Durney guy, when he pulled him out the truck. And they snatched all the stuff out. They're frustrated. They have nothing to do. But if you give these people jobs, whatever, even this labor job, all these buildings going up, there's no black or Hispanics doing those jobs like they should be. Fire department. You know, my son, they told my son that he couldn't get the fire department job because he was in college and he didn't live in the five-borough area at the time when they was calling or some nonsense. So he dug it in and he went on to transit. So I'm just saying, you could live and be miserable, or you could just, because you can't change it. They would say you can't fight City Hall. And Calvin, that's just pretty much. And thank you for the call.
Thank you very much for your call. A lot of interesting areas that you have shared with us, too. I'm sure some of the folks listening to us may want to comment on some of those, trying to let as many folks as possible get their thoughts in. Leon in Bloomfield, Connecticut, has been holding forever. Thanks for holding on so long. Welcome to the Fan.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. And yourself?
Not too bad. Well, I've been listening to the show for a while now, and I think everybody has a fair analysis of what's going on and what they see. But I grew up in London, England, and I came to the United States in 1976. I'm a construction worker, and I've seen this from England, and I've seen this in the U.S. But what I've noticed is that we're not having anything amended. And if you can't have stuff amended, then you're not going to get anywhere. Everybody's going to have their right. If a white dude goes down the street and he sees a black dude and he feels like calling him a name, it's free speech. But then I notice if a black dude goes down the street and calls a white dude a name, it could be taken as an offense, and the black dude can get locked up. And where I've seen enough instances, a lot of instances, where the white dude says something to the black dude, and a cop comes, and the cop has to differentiate what's going to go on, and the cop says, well, you know what? This guy really didn't mean what he said. And I think you're taking it a little bit too hard, and guess what? Let's all both go our ways before it gets any worse. Gentlemen, have a good night. But in the other case, I've seen an instance where the black dude said it, and it's a threat. It's a threat, and I'm wondering what could save that day from it being biased on that part of what was going on. Could you tell me?
I think it's going to depend on the individual judgments of the police officer, whoever it is that's responding, when you get right down to it.
Right.
I honestly don't know.
Right. That's why that's why I'm saying.
Yeah, I honestly do not know.
That's why I'm saying we all have our views, and I respect everybody's views because they were there at the time when it happened.
Right.
But if there was some type of an amendment, just like if you know you're going to go, you're going to park on the side of the road, and if there's going to be a snow day, you see a sign saying, you know, no parking zone, violators will be get told. If there was some type of an amendment for somebody to say, okay, you called James West, whatever, you know, you violated his constitution, here's your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to want to pay a ticket every minute for messing with you know,
right.
for that?
Right.
You know, you don't have to cause a blow or nothing like that. But if there's something there that has some kind of fine or toll for it, I'm pretty sure a lot of people's going to be holding their tongue. But because they can say it and not have any repercussion, they're going to keep saying it, and you're not going to get nothing out of it. Because I like parking anywhere I want to park my car, but I can't park my car everywhere I want to park my car. Guess what? I'm going to be out of money one day.
Right. You don't want to do that in this city. Definitely not. It's not a pretty experience at all. No.
You know, and I mean, on both sides of the story, I teach my kids what I need to teach my kids. I'm not going to tell you no lie. I teach my kids to look out for certain subliminal messages. I'm pretty sure other people teach their kids subliminal messages about other people too. But it's only because there's no balance. And while I'm not there to balance it, my kids have to be able to differentiate words, what they mean, body language, etc. So I figured if we come down to a point where somebody says, hey, Joe, you blow, there's a ticket for that. Because after a while, Joe ain't going to have no money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I could say. It's an interesting subject, and it's a very lengthy subject. Because I think this thing goes beyond me and you and even maybe the Bible.
Oh, yes. There's many different areas where we can go in this. We got to run here, though. Thank you very much for your call and for your patience on the phone.
No problem.
All right. Thanks for your call. You want to join us in the discussion? There's folks who are on hold. We'll get to you as we continue along in our chat on race relations. 877-337-6666 is our number at the Fan. Hey. Long after our 8 o'clock update this morning, it's the Sports Edge program. Football Sunday happens after our 9 o'clock update on The Fan. Gee, I wonder what they'll be talking about on that show today. And at 7:30 this morning, it's the NFL preview, always a fun time. Look ahead to the Pro Bowl this afternoon. We are in a discussion about the topic of race relations on our program. I'm Bob Salter, and I opened up the phones with a thought or two and wanted to get some thoughts from some of the folks listening to us. Our phone lines are absolutely jammed, as I had a feeling this might touch a chord. 877-337-6666. You want to share your thoughts? Let's go first to Mark, who's been holding forever in Roxbury. You know, we never on this program hear from anybody in Roxbury. Good morning,
Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Nice to have you join us.
Yeah, Roxbury. It's actually called Sukasana. I thought it'd be easier to say Roxbury versus Sukasana.
Oh, I know exactly where Sukasana is. Okay.
Well, great. Thank you, Bob. Bob, great topic this morning. I really feel like we're in a crazy time right now. I mean, I'm 55 years old on the back end of, you know, the baby boomers thing, and seen probably as much as you, less than you, I don't know. It's enough. I think we really need to address this in a hard way. I know it's so cliche. We need to have dialogue. I really do believe we need to have a dialogue, but I think it's got to be a little more deep than the dialogue, because I don't believe we can get past this unless we can almost call it like a open, respectful, constructive criticism on both sides or all sides of this, not just against one nationality or one race. Because if we can't really call this what it is and address the real raw crux of this, I don't think we can get past it, because there's so much anger and bitterness that I believe that the most of the people look at this as such a really, really serious issue, and it is. But I feel that we can get some more serious, constructive dialogue if people accept that, hey, we're going to have this, but we really need to address it the right way. And I think by telling people, you guys, I don't mean you guys, I don't mean to separate or divide this. I mean, I think if the blacks or the Hispanics or the Irish or Italian-Americans, whatever, are having an issue with things, that I think they need to look at it and say, well, we're having problems and we don't like this, whatever it may be, the way we're being treated. But on the other end, if the law enforcement cannot control people and do the right things without being under a microscope and have the fear of somebody always taping them now with social media and so forth, I feel they're in a tough spot because they really can't do the job. And absolutely, I agree, there are some bad apples, and not necessarily in the Big Apple. I mean, all over, people who have had issues, law enforcement people, that have been brought up X way or Y way, and really they had a bad upbringing, and they're going to just take it out on the people that they were taught, or just through their genes or through their upbringing, that they're going to have a problem with this certain race or relation. And I feel like a couple of calls earlier, they you know, brought up with agreeing and peaceful protest and not agreeing. And people can go out and have protests. Back in the 70s, they were peaceful protests. You know, a couple of people lay in the road or whatever it may be to get a point across. But with these people now who are rioting, I mean, you can have your protest, but let's make it peaceful. Everybody wants to make a name, and I think they realize that social media will cover it. It'll be on the news. They're going to make a name for themselves. They get their 5 minutes of fame. But to go and destroy and destruct a town over a vision or a view or a thought in their mind, how they believe it should be, they're not helping themselves. I think they're going backwards. I think they're hurting their cause, because most people get bitter and say, I want the same thing they want, but why are they going out and breaking my father's store? My father has spent $25,000 to fix his front window and all the damage and all the theft, and now it's the insurance company's paying for it. And I feel like if people can accept that, hey, we're going to have differences, but we need to come to a common ground where there's not going to be angst and violence, and people should be able to say what's on their mind without the other person turning around and just shooting them.
Interesting points, Mark, and thank you for your patience on the phone and also for sharing those with us. Hopefully some of the folks listening to us may respond to some of the things you've shared.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for your call this morning, too. All right, let's see. We go next to, well, stay in the state of New Jersey and go to Steve, who's been holding forever. Steve, good morning. Welcome to The Fan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
The gentleman that just spoke, he touched on a lot of very good points. And the issue that I have is we have no respect anymore for anyone, from races, for gender, for religion. And I'm a little older than you guys. I'm an ex-Marine. I've done everything, you know. And the issue that I see is that people go out. If you Muhammad, the great Muhammad Ali said at one point, if you feel the same way you do at the age of 50 that you felt at the age of 20, you've wasted 30 years of your life. We have no education is the key. We don't even emphasize education now. We emphasize killing war, the war machine, when we should be putting money in schools to educate everyone about history. History is very important because, and you talk about writing, the reason why a lot of low-income blacks write, they have nothing else. No one listens to them. They can't express themselves through education because you took that away. So, and they don't go to school because, remember, back in the 20s, there wasn't no school for blacks. So that has evolved. They have not learned over the years that education is the best. Now they're starting to get it. But remember, my great-grandmother didn't go to school. My grandmother didn't. School wasn't emphasized. And the same thing with some whites. But the difference is whites have had the privilege. White privilege has been here. If I drive down the street as a black sometimes, I have to turn. I have to decide which way I want to go to work. Because if I go down this street, I know I'm going to get stopped by a cop because of my skin tone. So I'll go the long way because I don't want that hassle. See, this is what goes on in not only blacks, but Hispanics, and if you have a person of color. If you walk into a store, you're first perceived as, well, I got to keep an eye on them. I wouldn't steal anything from, you know, I don't care about that. But you notice it as a person of color. We have got to start understanding other people. And it doesn't have to be about skin color. It could be about women. It could be about the religion they have. You know, we have certain perceptions in life that need to be pushed aside and try to understand that these people are human beings because they don't worship like we do. Because I'm a woman, you know, I'm not going to get paid as much as you. I'm not going to be treated. I'm not going to be respected as much as you. That's wrong. That's wrong. And until we realize this and become educated in ourselves and aware of other people and how they feel, I've seen, unfortunately, white people say, you need to get out of our country. This is not your country.
Mm-hmm.
The only person that can say that is Native Americans. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that were here first.
Right.
And we took their country. So what gives you the right to say, get out of our country? And you took their country from them. See, that's history. And we don't listen to history anymore.
Well, we don't know history. Basically.
Exactly, because we don't teach it in school.
Right.
And that is the reason I was a teacher in North New Jersey. And you try to teach kids that education is the key that unlocks the door to everything in life. But we got kids, we got schools in North that have no air conditioner, that have books are scarce. Everybody has to use the same book. That's crazy. The system has to change. In order for us to grow as a country, we have to change and have some. Now we've even got a president who doesn't even value education. That's terrible. That is terrible.
Steve, I want to thank you very much for your thoughts you shared with us on our program this morning. Also, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
As well, too. Thank you for your call this morning. Interesting thoughts being shared by folks listening to us on this topic of race relations. And I had a feeling that this would strike a chord in a way, perhaps even touch a nerve with some of the people listening to us this morning on this topic. At the beginning of the show, I asked the question, are things any better off than they were back in 1963 when Martin Luther King gave the I Have a Dream speech on that very hot August afternoon in Washington, D.C., before 250,000 people. Very powerful speech that has a certain legacy of its own. A lot of people have been exposed to parts of the speech. Many people have never heard the entire speech. And just interested in some of your thoughts. We have a lot of people who were on hold. We're trying to get to them as we move into the home stretch of our program this Sunday morning.
Geico presents unhelpful home improvement how-tos.
You can't predict when a pipe will burst, but when one does, you'll have quite a mess on your hands. So today, I'll show you how to prep for water damage by covering everything you own in plastic wrap. All you need is a lot of patience and 15,000 feet of plastic wrap. Now let's get started.
You could try to protect your stuff by covering it in plastic wrap, or you could get covered for personal property damage through the Geico Insurance Agency. Visit geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
4 million people across New York State have the protection of health insurance through New York State of Health.
Yearly checkups to keep me and my children healthy.
I don't know what I'd do without it.
Hurry. Enrollment ends January 31st. Visit nystateofhealth.ny.gov.
Nothing compares to the drive of an Audi. Make your dream of owning one a reality during the Audi Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event. Exclusive offers now at Audi Freehold and Audi Toms River.
Hi, I won 100 points playing your game this morning and wanted to cash them out.
Cash out?
Yeah, you know, redeem my points for real money so I can buy steak dinners, take a vacation, see a show.
I can offer you a candy trophy.
Play real games, win real money. Introducing the new PlayMGM Casino and PlayMGM Poker apps. Real Vegas gambling online in Jersey. Download today and get $25 on the house. Must be 21, New Jersey only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If it's time to top off, flush or refuel your cooling system, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for Presto Universal Premixed Antifreeze and Coolant, $12.99 a gallon. Plus, earn double O rewards points for this purchase of Presto Universal Premixed Antifreeze and Coolant at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, it's Carl Banks for Kia. I just love my new Sorento. It's not just the way it looks, smooth ride, all the safety features, available third row seating, or the technology. It's everything. And with winter weather and dangerous driving conditions upon us, Sorento offers fully active all-wheel drive, the fully advanced system that gives you control in all types of weather. Now you can discover Kia's great quality and why customers are very happy with their Kia purchase with just a simple test drive when you stop by your local Kia dealer. This month, Kia is offering great lease and finance deals on the versatile Kia Sportage, designed to inspire a sense of adventure with its dynamic styling, or the larger Kia Sorento SUV like the one I'm driving. And remember to check out the sporty Forte sedan with tons of technology. To see all the great offers on the full line of Kia models, just visit KiaDealers.com or hurry into your local New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut Kia dealer today and tell them Carl sent you.
They say, want a new wireless plan? Gotta buy a new phone. At Simple Mobile, we say, just bring your own phone. Then pop in a Simple Mobile SIM card and boom, you've got 30-day unlimited plans starting at just $25 with nationwide coverage on a lightning-fast 4G LTE network, all with no contract. You can keep it complicated, or you can mobile simple with Simple Mobile.
Available nationwide at Best Buy, Simple Mobile dealers, and authorized retailers. See the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
Good morning at 7:20. I'm Dave Urey. I'm the support sponsor by Spot Hero. Difficult night for the shorthanded Nets. No Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, D'Angelo Russell, or Caris LeVert. Head coach Kenny Atkinson joined those guys with 5:55 left in the fourth quarter. He got tossed for losing his cool big time at referee Tony Brothers. Brooklyn fell to the T-Wolves in Minnesota 111-97, their third defeat in a row. The Warriors edged the Celtics in a possible finals preview 109-105. Steph Curry, 49 points, 13 in the final 2 minutes. Not very impressive to Draymond Green, though.
Obviously, 49 is 49, but I've seen crazier. And unfortunately for him, I'm not that impressed by what he did tonight.
Former Knick Carmelo Anthony reaching his 25,000th career point, 21st player in the league to do so. Thunder beat the Pistons 121-108. Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski accomplishing step 4 of 5 of concussion protocol. Football-specific drills at Patriots practice. Super Bowl 52 next Sunday. The Pro Bowl's today right here on The Fan. Westwood One's coverage begins at 2:30. NHL All-Star Game this afternoon featuring Henrik Lundqvist, John Tavares, Josh Bailey, Brian Boyle, Roger Federer outlasting Marin Cilic in 5 sets in the Australian Open Final. That's his 20th major championship. Tiger Woods going to the final round of the Farmers Insurance Open. 8 strokes back after a 2-under round 3. And in college basketball, St. John's losing to Butler 70-45. Rutgers a 60-43 defeat to Penn State. Syracuse over Pitt 60-55. Stony Brook lost to Albany. Hofstra defeated Delaware. Iona top Manhattan. Fordham took care of UMass. Columbia just short of Cornell. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. You Spot Hero anytime you park. First time using users can enter promo code CITY for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. With reports every 20 minutes, Dave Uram, WFAN 2020 Sports.
It's the NFL Pro Bowl. Today, as the best of the AFC meets the NFC's finest in Orlando, with our coverage underway at 2:30 here on your flagship station for Super Bowl 52 on Sunday, February 4th, featuring the Eagles and Patriots, The Fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Oh, he is a handsome young man. Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter on our program. No, I'm not talking about myself. I was talking about Paul Turner. On our program on Sunday mornings after our 8 o'clock update, it is Rick Wolf, who is along with the Sports Edge program. And the Football Sunday program happens after 9 this morning. NFL previews along at 7:30. It is Pro Bowl Sunday. We're trying to take some calls from some of the folks listening to us. Your thoughts on the topic of race relations. Back to the phones we go to Rick, who's calling us from Virginia. He's been holding for so long. I think Virginia may have just been settled at that time. Rick, good morning. Welcome to The Fan.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. I have a different perspective on the topic, which is a topic that needs to be discussed. I grew up in New Jersey until I was about 22 or 23, and I moved to Virginia 35 years ago. In New Jersey, I grew up, and I worked in Plainfield, my first real job, for 5 years. And Plainfield was a war zone. That's one of the reasons I moved south, and then between the murders and the rape and everything. And I'm not blaming any particular persons or anything, but it was just rough.
Now, what time period was it that you were in Plainfield?
I was in Plainfield. I grew up in South Plainfield, and I worked in Plainfield on West Front and then on Park Ave for 5 years. It was probably 77 to 80. I moved here in 83.
Okay. I know Plainfield well. That's why I'm asking the question. Okay.
Yeah. I grew up in South Plainfield. So I moved down here, and I came down. I had bought a little mobile home I paid for and all, and I came down here with no job, didn't know anybody, and other than the girl I moved down here with, and I couldn't get a job. I was a pure Yankee. I mean, to this day, 35 years later, I'm still a Yankee, even though I've been here longer than I was in New Jersey. Still a Yankee today. If I say something out of line, if I'm loud, just carrying on, oh, he's a Yankee, you know, and you hear that. I've heard people say, people have told me to my face, not knowing where I was from, say, oh, well, he's just a Yankee. And I would kid back, not knowing that they actually are insulting me, but I'd say, yeah, well, you know how that is. Yeah, they ought to just go back, you know, a damn Yankee. But what I can tell you about what I see on both ends of it is, The racism is one thing, but here it's just passed down to this day. Where I live in this county, it's 179 square miles. Very poor. I'm in Western Virginia, in the Allegheny Highlands. Mm-hmm. The percentage of white in this county, 179 square miles, is 98.6. It says percentage of black, 0.5, and I've never seen any. And I have no problem, believe me, I'm an Italian American. Percentage Hispanic, 0.3, others, 0.6. I noticed when a Middle Eastern gentleman bought a little bitty convenience store, there's only two in the whole county in this area, and one about 17 miles west. People boycotted the store, basically. They would go there if they had to, but they'd wait till in the morning and get gas at the other station instead of, you know, patronizing him. I mean, just, and I know he bought it for the investment. Not that it's a rich county. It's actually a very poor and rural county, but you can hear people talking about him. They have a fall festival here every October. And I saw one year, in 10 years, I saw one man, a black man, dancing with a white girl. And you could hear the crowd talking and mumbling. He wouldn't have done that 10 years ago, or, you know, you better leave before the sun sets. And they're serious.
Oh, I know they are.
Oh, yeah, the KKK is in this county. They had an auction 5 years ago of all the historical items. They sold everything. The bidding was crazy. I didn't have any money. I thought that'd be an investment. I have no desire for that, but that's an event. They sold everything, robes and KKK, crazy. They rented out a state forest pavilion with volleyball courts and horseshoes and outdoor latrine, all that stuff, big pavilion night. K- KKK had their meeting there. Nobody said nothing. Nobody bothered. They knew better. Don't bother. But at the same time, growing up and working in Plainfield, when I worked, I delivered furniture, sold furniture, whatever. When we had deliveries on the West End, okay, so I was on Park Ave, right? At Park and Fourth. We had to do deliveries at 8 o'clock in the morning on the West End. Not that the East End was much better for security, just because, as my boss said, who was an older white man, they're all sleeping. You know, you need to get there now and unload and get back, you know, and that's what we did. Here, where I live, there are no blacks here. There never has been. They have the guys from, like, Home Depot with a refrigerator delivery. Let's say it's two black guys, and I don't mean to be rude by saying black guys, but that's what it is. They have them deliver up here early because they don't want their employees up here at 4 or 5 in the afternoon when you know, people are coming home. Hey, what's it? If they stop and get a Gatorade or something, even though their truck is out front, Home Depot, and you know what it is. So it was up there. We had to deliver to them in the morning, and here they deliver to the whites in the morning. And I don't think it's going to change. I'm not saying I'm a smart guy or anything, but here, my friend has a property handed down to him. He marries a full Filipino girl, came over with her mom with a Navy guy after Nam, like 72 or something, and she told me herself that on the deed of the property, they have property and a nice house, that it says can't sell to blacks. And she is a dark-skinned woman, lovely woman. And she kind of kidded me and said, you know, I wonder what they think of me about this, you know. And I kind of laughed it off, you know. She went riding by one time on my buddy on his Harley, and the guy next door said, look, that's an N.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, that's Dean's wife, man. What are you talking about? He just saw a dark-skinned woman on the back of a Harley, and that's what he said. But here, the parents won't even go into where the only mall around here is about 30 miles. It's a nice mall, big mall for here. They won't even patronize it. I bring kids there that had never been in a mall in 17 years, never even knew where it was. They just won't go that area. They don't want to deal with it. And like any mall, you got your purse snatchings and chain snatches and stealing car stuff, whatever it is. But they won't. So it's not that the kids hate, but they're just taught to not socialize. And today with these phones, I'm not a phone guy. I don't have a computer. I listen to you on the radio AM until the sun comes up, then I can't get you. There's no socializing. The woman next door will buy everything online,
right,
which I know is a convenient, not for me, just so she doesn't have to bring her kids into the city here.
Amazing.
And
Rick,
not a big
Rick,
city.
We got to go here.
Thanks for
the
taking
insights.
My call. Thank you very much.
Thank
have a nice
you.
Day.
Very interesting discussion. Sorry we couldn't get to more folks on the phones. Wild discussion. Great news. Chains come off next week, 2 hours. Ho-ho, baby. We'll see you next Sunday morning at 6 o'clock.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.